From Pittsburgh to York, Danville to Uniontown, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, if enacted into law, the recommendations of the Basic Education Funding Commission would cost the average Pennsylvania family more than $2,000 per year in additional taxes. David Taylor and our Capital Watch crew are here to discuss the impact. And it is called wagging the dog, diverting public attention to hide what is really happening. And the American left is doing just that with their hysteria over the events of January 6, 2021. I'll have a town hall commentary. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to our Capital Watch crew in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. The state legislature last year approved a 30-cent increase in telephone taxes to help counties fund 911 emergency centers. County officials, however, were pushing for a $2.30 increase in the fee, which will now climb to $1.95 per bill beginning in March. The approved increase will generate about $47.7 million annually. County officials need the funding to help pay for vacant staff positions and to improve infrastructure, but they say the approved rate hike is not enough to get the job done. Lawmakers, however, say the increase represented a fair compromise to support emergency services while respecting taxpayer wallets. The American Petroleum Institute's annual State of American Energy Address focused on production, national security, and improving infrastructure. The Center Square reports that while Pennsylvania's influence on the national and global energy markets has grown in recent decades, that could change. Difficulty in getting permits for drilling and the construction of needed pipeline capacity top the list of challenges facing the natural gas industry in Penn's Woods. Production here has stagnated while it has ramped up in states like Texas and Louisiana, which have state policies that foster rather than hinder energy production. And in case you missed it, Pennsylvania lawmakers received a substantial so-called cost of living pay increase the first of the year. The House chamber, though, has sat empty since January 1st, and legislators will not return to session until the end of March. The excuse is the need to repair a leaky roof, but the actual reason is the chamber is tied at 101 Republicans and 101 Democrats, with one empty seat which will be filled, you guessed it, in mid-March. Democrats control the state House of Representatives, and the vacant seat leans Democrat. It will determine the balance of power if and when the House gets back to doing business. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. In the wake of a Commonwealth Court ruling that held the state's distribution of basic education funding to be unconstitutional, the education establishment is pushing for a massive increase in funding. If approved, it would add about $2,000 per year to the average family's tax bill. For details, we turn to our Capital Watch crew. David Taylor from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association is joined by Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association and Stephen Bloom of the Commonwealth Foundation.
And welcome once again to Capital Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me in the studio, your Capital Watch All-Stars, the President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association, Rebecca Euler. Rebecca, great to be with you.
Great to be here again, David. Thank you.
And my main man, Steve Bloom, Vice President of the Commonwealth Foundation. Steve, great to see you.
It is a pleasure to be here, David.
Well, it's been another very consequential, you know, week or so in state government, state politics, that we had the sort of the grand summit of the School Funding Commission. And Steve, tell us about the fallout from that.
Well, sure, David. There's an organization called the Basic Education Funding Commission. They were created back around 2015, thereabouts, by the legislature through statute. And the job of this commission is to determine or to present analysis and ideas on the best way to direct the funding that the General Assembly approves for the basic education subsidy, so the core funding for public schools across the state.
Because schools and public schools in PA are funded through both the Commonwealth and by the local school district through the local taxpayers.
Correct. And the Commonwealth is the one that contributes a large amount to that total, along with the property taxes. They're both very high, and that's where the bulk of the funding comes from for education across the Commonwealth. The job of the commission was to ascertain better ways to distribute that money to make sure that the system is equitable and essentially making efficient use of the funds that have been appropriated. And that's what it did in its first go-around. It was set up to meet every 5 years, come together, evaluate the data, run some hearings, talk to testimony from people across the state who have stakeholder positions with regard to education, and then come up with a recommendation to the General Assembly. The General Assembly doesn't have to follow it, but it's to be presented as a nonpartisan idea. The commission is intentionally split to be diverse. It has 6 members from the House, 6 members from the Senate, 3 Republicans, 3 Democrats each. So it's evenly divided amongst legislators. And then the governor, the administration of the governor, gets to have 3 appointees on the commission. Unfortunately, as we've seen all across the board in politics in Pennsylvania and elsewhere, things have become very partisan.
Mm-hmm.
And where we ended up after the Basic Education Funding Commission did its work of holding the hearings and studying all the data is that they essentially recognized that they had a majority of Democrats on that commission, thanks to the 3 from Governor Josh Shapiro's office, and that the Democrats, rather than having to compromise or reach any sort of a practical working arrangement with the Republicans, could just run away with the report and report whatever they want. And so they instead of just recommending what to do with the distribution of funds, they decided that they were going to make the report about how much should be spent. And when the Democrats on the committee, knowing they weren't going to need the Republican votes,
mm-hmm.
decided that they wanted to recommend spending, which isn't their job,
right?
They jumped in with both feet. And so the total additional funds, depending on how you look at it, at least $5.4 billion additional over the coming years. And if you look at it in terms of closing the current deficit, that adds another couple of billion to the mix. So you're talking about serious money,
mm-hmm.
so much, in fact, that if, in fact, the recommendation that this commission has now made to the General Assembly were adopted mm-hmm. wholesale, it would increase taxes in the Commonwealth for a family of 4 by $2,000 each year.
Forever.
Forever, from now on. And to add insult to injury, the report that the Democrats adopted, and it was an 8-7 vote, all Democrats voting for, Republicans all voting against, and one Democrat voting against because she didn't think it spent enough. If the legislature enacted their recommendations, we'd be in that place with this tremendous new tax increase on Pennsylvania families, but with no accountability, no new accountability for performance, and no incentives for good outcomes.
Well,
we're looking at, David, we're looking at a situation now where there are so many failing schools and poor performances in the public school system right now that more than half of Pennsylvania's 4th graders and nearly 75% of Pennsylvania's 8th graders cannot perform grade level math. And we're talking about simply throwing billions and billions of dollars more into that system rather than attempting to fix it.
Well, and this is what's completely insane. So, of course, the funding commission seized the opportunity that was presented by the ruling of the Commonwealth Court saying that our current funding structure is unconstitutional. But again, this is not their job to recommend how much to spend. But I mean, here's the thing that makes me crazy. Pennsylvania is already one of the top spenders in the country with the per pupil expenditure. Despite how much or how little money is being spent, like that's not – there's no direct correlation between high spending and high academic results.
And in fact, we're seeing in Pennsylvania the opposite. We're at a decade plus of dramatic increases in spending for public education every year, and then we're seeing results like this that are declining. We're seeing a population of students that's shrinking, and the answer that the commission is giving is – let's spend more.
Yeah. And I just it's like, shouldn't the threshold question be what value is being derived from this massive expenditure from the taxpayers? Are the students getting the effective educational experience that they need to be successful in life? In too many instances, the answer to that is no. And so, like, I mean, again, I don't understand the impulse that some people have to set fire to a large pile of money. But, I mean, this just looks like another manifestation of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely true. I mean, I just looked at the figure, and in the past 10 years, state support for public education went up a full 55%. So a 55% increase in our taxpayers' investment in education, and we are not getting the results that we should be getting. Test scores are declining. Outcomes are declining. We have workforce issues. They're not being prepared for the jobs that we have now in the Commonwealth.
Yeah. I mean, and as the listeners have heard me say many times, that not only are there not enough qualified new hires, but that a lot of times that our folks are just looking for people who are trainable, mm-hmm. people who are literate and numerate and who can, you know, follow instructions and stuff. And again, that the too often that the school system has left them woefully unprepared.
I just wonder, Steve, can you talk about whether this whether the commission actually considered any efforts to reform any systemic changes they recommended, like, for instance, containing costs, consolidating districts, anything that would save money at all?
The only things they were really talking about in the majority report of the commission were changes to the charter school funding system. And that was not to make it better or more efficient. It was just to give the public school districts the sense that they were not paying as much when a student would leave to go to a charter school. So that was inside baseball, just essentially.
Well, and I'm sure it's also to put the charter schools on a path to starvation.
Yeah, building the status quo, making the status quo stronger rather than amending anything or fixing anything. The Republicans on the commission, having been cut out from the process, ended up issuing their own minority report. Now, in that report, yes, there were excellent suggestions about what could be done to actually improve equity within the system and actually improve educational outcomes. Discussion was had about expanding the tax credit scholarship programs in Pennsylvania that have proven so successful and allowed so many students to leave public failing schools that were not serving their needs and get a decent education at some other sort of school situation, whether it be a private school or a parochial school, whatever alternative they would choose. So expanding that has been one idea that's very important. Starting a large-scale educational savings account program, something like the Lifeline Scholarship Program that even the governor has talked several times about publicly that he supports it. That would be something really important. If Pennsylvania could do that, we would absolutely see increases in the performance. Other states that have done this, not only for the kids who get the scholarships and get to leave for a better school, even the existing schools, because they keep the lion's share of their funding and they lose a student, so their ratio goes down, have often done better.
You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm your host, David Taylor, from Pennsylvania Manufacturers. With me, Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association and Steve Bloom from the Commonwealth Foundation. So I just try to wrap my head around all this that, you know, again, Pennsylvania, as I said before, one of the top spenders in America per capita for the kids in the public school system. And again, this is one of the core responsibilities of state government in partnership with the local school districts to fund the schools, to operate the schools that every child in Pennsylvania deserves, as the Constitution says. What is it? Efficient and effective?
Thorough and efficient.
Thorough and efficient. Thank you. Education. But to do more of the same when what is happening now is, you know, too oftentimes deeply dysfunctional, it just seems to me a great kind of unwisdom to just shovel more money at it.
It's almost like an inability to listen or process the ruling of the Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court that the current system is unconstitutional because of its inequities. Just adding more money doesn't fix inequities.
Correct.
You'll still have winners and losers.
The Commonwealth Court decision specifically said that the solution is not entirely financial. So they actually sort of teed up a conversation about some of these bigger issues and some of the structural reforms that probably need to happen, for sure.
The dynamics that absolutely must be broken is, I mean, there's no other term for it but government greed. Government serving itself, government serving the entrenched interests that, you know, buttress the holding of office and the perpetuation of political power, that it just, to me, it shocks the conscience that you have these elected officials who are supposed to be, you know, weighing the public good, holding these offices, you know, in trust on behalf of the people, and they just, they respect no upper limit of how much they can take out of the private economy, that they have no concern for the consequences of how is a family that has to pay $2,000 more, how are they going to make it to the end of the month? How are they going to care for their own kids? How are they going to, you know, to save for college? How are they going to pay the mortgage? The education function, it's a function. Like, the whole reason that we do it is, you know, the purpose of public education is that the public generally be educated. You know, it's not about building or reinforcing power structures that deliver campaign contributions to keep certain people in office.
And it's important to note that, again, the entire commission didn't jump in on this idea that we simply need to spend more money for education in Pennsylvania. The Republican members of that commission issued their own minority report. They voted against this. And kudos to them, for they were under a lot of pressure from the media and elsewhere to just toe the line and get a unanimous report out there, and they wouldn't do it. So credit to the Republican members serving on the commission. Those six were courageous in what they did.
It's a sick way of thinking. It's, the cliche, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Well, this is just the perfect example of that.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, what you said, Dave, about the $2,000 extra per family, who's going to break it to the families that are having trouble putting their food on the table every month? That they're going to, we talked about this a bit ago. It's probably going to have to double the personal income tax in Pennsylvania to make up for the cost that they're saying is required for this. If we're going to double the personal income tax, how do we convince those people to actually stay in Pennsylvania? Yeah. I mean, we're losing people, we're losing working families to other states, and we're set up for failure, and they just don't get the big picture.
That's correct. And Rebecca, the dynamic that you describe is exactly what happened in Illinois. That Springfield just went all in on more taxes and more spending and more debt, and people moved. Cook County, Illinois, and the whole Chicagoland area, people just moved to Wisconsin, moved to Indiana. And this is why Pennsylvania became the fifth largest state in terms of population. It's not that we grew, it's that Illinois shrank, that I think was like 250,000 people moved out of state. And with that, left behind their share of the state taxpayer debt. So this is, again, we need leaders, political class leaders, who recognize we need the school system to work, not just because it's the right thing to do for each one of those kids, though it is. We also need those young people to be members of the workforce so that Pennsylvania can be prosperous, so that we can compete, so that those individuals can be breadwinners for their own families. And moreover, that we need to right-size state government. We need to get the maximum value out of the dollars that are already being spent before we add one more nickel, in my opinion, and that there's no way to get there by just doing more of the same.
It's small picture thinking, because we don't live in a vacuum in Pennsylvania. If we want to maintain a public educational system that isn't delivering results, and we want to keep increasing families' taxes to do that, there's a consequence. People move to other states. It's simple. It's common sense. It's simply every human beings respond to incentives, positive and negative. And if you could do much better as a family by moving across the boundaries to whether it's a state like maybe North Carolina or Florida or Arizona that's leading the way with sensible regulations and minimal government and good, thriving, vibrant school systems, We're paying the price for that in Pennsylsylvania. We're stuck here without the families that would be here building the future for Pennsylvania's prosperity.
There's no law that Pennsylvania lawmakers can enact that can force people to stay. And, you know, again, it's the same, you know, I have the same sort of, you know, argument, you know, dilemma talking about the, you know, all the burdens and regulations and responsibilities and the taxes that the state government puts on the private sector. It's like the Commonwealth cannot pass a law requiring somebody to start or own or operate a business, you know? And so, again, some respect should be shown for the people who are the risk takers, the entrepreneurs, the investors, the people who make that happen, adding value and employing people and supporting the local tax base. And this is just, you know, another example of a big issue that needs to be addressed appropriately. And, you know, just the continuing insanity of more and more of the same when the system as it stands isn't working is, you know, can only be called insanity. So anyway, again, we thank you, the listeners, for being with us. And, you know, as we grapple with these things, we work things through. But anyway, we're down to the end of the time that we have for today. So we'll go around the horn. Rebecca, where can people go to learn more about you and your group and the things that you're doing?
They can find the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association at pmta.org.
And Steve, where do we go to find out more about you and what's happening at Commonwealth Foundation?
You can visit commonwealthfoundation.org.
Outstanding. As always, you can find me online at pamanufacturers.org. And from Steve and Rebecca and me, thanks so much for listening, and we will catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.
Thank you, David. The 1997 film Wag the Dog, starring Dustin Hoffman and Robert De Niro, centered on a political spin doctor and a Hollywood producer who stage a fake war to distract voters from a presidential sex scandal. The plot was somewhat played out in real life, as then-President Bill Clinton engaged in various foreign exploits to distract from his Oval Office dalliance with an intern named Monica Lewinsky. The term is a derivative of the old saying, the tail wagging the dog, which means something relatively minor is controlling something bigger. The American left is once again deploying that tactic, engaging in furious tail wagging over the riot on January 6, 2021 at the U.S. Capitol building. At the outset, let me say that political violence is never acceptable, and the riot that occurred at the Capitol that winter day was indeed deplorable. But it was just that, a riot, not an insurrection, which ascribes to the participants a greater degree of intelligence and ability than they actually possess. President Joe Biden's job approval ratings are in the tank, and former President Donald Trump is leading the incumbent in both national and swing state polling. Democrats are stuck with a candidate who is obviously rapidly declining in mental acuity and are desperately casting about for a way to deflect attention from a failed presidency. And so it was that Biden was led onto a stage near Valley Forge to proclaim the events of 3 years ago represent an existential threat to democracy, and that the substantial block of voters who merely want policies that place the well-being of Americans first are somehow as reprehensible as the Capitol rioters. The dog wagging continued. An attention-seeking gadfly most noted for sophomoric political stunts, like placing an inflatable pink pig at the state capitol, filed a lawsuit aimed at keeping mid-state Congressman Scott Perry off this year's ballot. The suit continues the narrative being used to try to block former President Donald Trump from state ballots by invoking the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, barring candidates from holding federal office if they had been involved in an insurrection against the government of the United States. The problem with challenges to both Trump and Perry is that neither has been charged, let alone convicted, of insurrection. The left may view concerns over the validity of the 2020 elections as insurrectionist, but there is no legal or even logical basis for such a claim. Election results, including those of past presidential elections, have been subjected to post-election challenges and reviews throughout our history. Apparently, even attending a political rally is cause enough for dog wagging. Art Hayward, a seldom-seen Pennsylvania state senator from Philadelphia, grabbed media attention for demanding an ethics investigation into fellow state senator Doug Mastriano. The reason? Mastriano was in Washington on January 6th and attended a pro-Trump rally near the White House. He did not participate in the Capitol riot. All of this tail wagging by the left, of course, attracted considerable media attention with the goal of conferring fake legitimacy on the message. This accomplished the goal of diverting attention from the real concerns of the American electorate. For months, President Biden has attempted to place a positive spin on the term Bidenomics. The president would have us believe that his economic policies have improved the lives of Americans. At the kitchen table, however, the reality of over 17% cumulative inflation during the past 3 years and declining spending power has hit hard. An Ipsos poll released last week found Biden's job approval hitting a new low of 33%, with 58% disapproving of his performance in office. That is lower than any number Donald Trump hit during his tenure in office. Worse, 72% of those polled agreed that, quote, "the economy is in bad shape given higher prices and interest rates," end quote. A December poll conducted for Fox News found 68% of all voters, including 47% of Democrats, are dissatisfied with the direction of the country. 78% of voters say the economy is in bad shape, including 61% of Democrats and 85% of independents. Add in global challenges, including wars in Ukraine and the Mideast, along with an unstable relationship with China, and there is little for the Biden administration to use effectively in a re-election campaign. As a result, the left has obviously decided to deflect attention by ginning up a false narrative of democracy being at risk. It is a gambit that is likely to fail, because as the famed political consultant James Carville once said, "It's the economy, stupid." At this point, the left has little choice but to continue wagging the dog in hopes that nobody pays attention to something other than the tail. With the Town Hall Commentary, I'm Loman Henry. If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our all-new websites, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. Once again, it is time to talk about the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference, which will be held April 4 through 6 at the Penn Harris Hotel and Convention Center near Harrisburg. This year's featured dinner speaker will be Judge Jeanine Pirro of Fox News, The Five. She will be joined by a wide range of state and national speakers and panelists. The three-day event will also include an expanded schedule of workshops. The Pennsylvania Leadership Conference is the nation's largest and longest running. This will be the 35th year of state-based conservative activist conferences in the nation. Get complete details and register for this year's Pennsylvania Leadership Conference at paleadershipconference.org. That's paleadershipconference.org. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, and the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, all of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania. Thank you.